It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, new research shows there are a lot more small streams and creeks flowing into Lake Superior than scientists previously thought. We'll talk to a researcher about the impact these small tributaries are having on the biggest of the Great Lakes. First, if you find yourself heading back to work after a day or two off and feeling a little underwhelmed with how you just spent your time, you may need to rethink how you prepare for your weekend. Whether you work a regular Monday to Friday gig or have a different kind of schedule, we all want to spend our time off the right way, maybe getting stuff done, doing stuff we enjoy and that has meaning to us. But getting the weekend right can take a little more planning ahead than we realize. Laura Vanderkam is the author of several time management and productivity books, including What the Most Successful People Do on the Weekends and Off the Clock, Feel Less Busy While Getting More Done. Her work has appeared in publications including the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, Fast Company, and Fortune. Laura, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, we'll talk in terms of like a two-day weekend. I know people have different schedules, but by the time we get to that weekend, a lot of times a lot of people might feel like, hey, no plans. I want to do nothing this weekend. What's wrong with that? Taking that approach?
Well, the first problem is that it's impossible to do nothing. You'll do something, but it might not be nearly as rejuvenating as if you'd put a tiny bit of thought into it. And that's really kind of the point of our days off, right, is to rejuvenate ourselves, to add to our energy levels so we can do all the amazing things that we're doing in life. And so, you know, it's hard to get our heads around this idea, but I really do think that leisure time is too precious to be completely leisurely about it. We need to put a little thought into it.
Right. The risk is, and I've been here, other people have, then we sit and, oh, let's see what's on TV. I'll watch half this football game I didn't really care about. And what's on my phone? I'll look at that for a while. We just kind of, we could squander it if we don't do a little planning, right?
Exactly. And the sad part of that is then people feel like, oh, I have no free time. And yet we did. We had free time. It's just we used it for things that didn't actually make us feel better and didn't make us feel like we were enjoying life. So, you know, it behooves us to ask the question, well, what do I like to do? What adds to my energy levels? What would be enjoyable for myself and the people I care about? And then how can I find some time on the weekend or make some time, I guess is a better phrase, to make those things happen?
Start us off on, say, Friday night. How do we organize our weekend? Maybe start doing stuff then, but also come up with a plan to harness the power of that weekend.
Well, I'd actually suggest starting earlier. You know, Friday night is great if maybe you don't have a whole lot of other people who are involved in your weekend plans. But if there are, for instance, if you've got kids who have to do stuff, your spouse wants to do stuff, you're trying to meet up with friends, maybe you need reservations somewhere, if you need a babysitter, like you probably got to think about it a little bit before Friday night. So maybe, you know, Wednesday in the middle of the week or something, take just 15 minutes to think about your weekend. Say, well, what three things would I like to do that would add to my energy levels? Also, then look at the weekend itself and see, well, what's already on the schedule for it? Because, again, if there's lots of people involved, there's probably something there already, you know, birthday parties, kids' sporting events, something your spouse signed you up for, whatever it is. You know, and then figure out, well, how can you make these things you want to do fit in around these other things? And then you can, you know, send your text to a babysitter or make a reservation at a restaurant or whatever you need to do. But if you think about this ahead of time, it vastly increases the chances that it actually happens.
Now, I have kind of maybe the opposite worry that thwarts me. I don't want to overplan. I want to overcommit myself on the weekend, and that can end up resulting in me severely undercommitting myself on the weekend and having that fritter away time. How do I get myself in the right mindset?
You're right that it's really a balance. But I think there's a huge space between planning every minute and planning nothing. Like, this is really a false choice. You can definitely find something in the middle that's a happy balance. So, you know, maybe it's that you want to do three things on the weekend. There's a lot of hours. I calculated this once. There's like 60 hours between 6 p.m. Friday and 6 a.m. Monday. You're probably awake for about 36 of those. So, you know, if you plan three things over the course of 36 hours, that leaves quite a bit of downtime, which you can fill with, you know, staring at the clouds, or more likely for most of us, watching TV, puttering around the house, or checking social media. But, you know, planning three meaningful things means that you'll get to the end of the weekend and say, hey, I actually did something. Like, somebody asked you, what did you do this weekend? You have an answer that can create an actual, you know, meaningful, enjoyable conversation, as opposed to, you know, I watched a bunch of TV that I really can't remember.
We're talking about making the most of our time off. Laura Vanderkam is with us, author of books including Off the Clock, Feel Less Busy While Getting More Done. Laura, it can be tempting for a lot of people, depending on the job, to do some work over the weekend. How can we set up that border, make sure we don't let work take over our time off?
Well, I'd quibble a little bit with this. I don't think there's anything horrible about doing a little bit of work on the weekend. And for some people who have certain kind of lives, doing a little bit of the work on the weekend can actually make the rest of life feel more doable. Somebody has a job where they need to leave a little bit early every day to make a daycare pickup. Sometimes doing a little bit of work on the weekend allows them to feel like they can keep moving forward, as opposed to feeling like, well, I'm always the person who's racing out and I can't get the hours in that I need to. But if you are going to do work on the weekend, just as with planning your leisure time, you want to be mindful about it. You don't want to be checking your phone every 10 minutes because, you know, nothing's coming in every 10 minutes that you need to see, and it'll just make you feel like you have no downtime at all. So think ahead of time, well, if I'm going to do work this weekend, what do I truly need to accomplish by Monday? Not, you know, I'm going to get through a 2,000 email backlog, because you won't. But practically, what am I going to get through? And then what would be a good sort of unobtrusive time for me to do it? Maybe if you've got teenage kids, doing it like Saturday morning from 7 to 9:30 would be great, because as far as they know, you don't even exist then. Or maybe it's that you will do a little bit on Sunday night after sort of you're already in work week mode, and maybe 8 to 10 on Sunday night, that could be a reasonable time for it. But making sure that you don't feel like you're always doing it, set a time for it.
Let's focus in on how we start our days. You did a brief video talking about the snooze button. You're not a fan. Tell us why.
Well, basically, because snooze sleep is really the worst of all worlds. You're not getting up and starting your day, but you're not actually getting the deep restorative sleep that makes you feel more rested either. So you're sleeping in these little like 9-minute increments that are doing very little for you other than delaying the start of the day and making you feel, you know, more grumpy that you keep having to hit the snooze button. So set your alarm for the time that you actually intend to get out of bed. And then enjoy every last minute of sleep right up until that point. It's all about being honest with ourselves. I mean, maybe you're telling yourself, yes, I'm going to get up and, you know, have this beautiful 90-minute morning routine involving exercise and meditation and journaling and writing the great American novel. But if it's not really going to happen, like, go ahead and just enjoy your sleep. Then you'll have the energy to do those things later in the day.
Now, we're doing a lot of different stuff over the weekend. And I think with time off, a lot of people might think, oh, I need to be productive. I need to get stuff done. How can we figure out the right amount of time? And now I'm not talking work here, just in our lives, house, writing the book, whatever. How can we set aside the right amount of productivity time that we actually get stuff done, but, you know, don't crowd out the chill time?
Yeah, I think like with paid work, you want to set a time for it. Because that way, you know, you're not having this conversation with yourself the whole weekend of like, oh, I should be working on X. I should be studying for that class I want to take, or writing that book, or, you know, doing that project around the house that I keep saying I'm going to do. If it's always a possibility, then you can't really relax because you're always having this debate with yourself. Should I be doing it now? Should I be doing it some other time? If you have designated a time, then the rest of the time you can tell yourself, oh, hey, there's a time for that. And now is not that time. So when you're thinking about your weekend, you know, think about, well, what are those projects you need to get done? And then say, well, what is the time I can do that? And, you know, as much as possible, figure out whatever support you need. If you need somebody else to take your kids during this time, if you need to trade off with your spouse, or maybe it's a time when they're all doing something else, whatever it is. But set a time, and then you can relax the rest of it.
I like that, taking the guilt out of the time when you're not getting the thing done.
Yeah, and you could do the same thing for, I mean, just housework in general. I mean, I know everyone uses the weekend to catch up on chores because, you know, if you're working all week, when else are you going to do them, right? But, again, it's housework is like email, and it can expand to fill the available space. So you need to sort of designate a time for it. And, you know, if you notice that the floor is dirty at some other point, you can be like, yeah, well, there's an hour on Sunday morning to deal with that. And it's not that hour on Sunday morning, so I'm just going to relax and live with my dirty floor.
We're talking to Laura Vanderkam, author of many time management books. Her latest is called Off the Clock, Feel Less Busy While Getting More Done. She's talking with us today about how we can get more out of our days off of work. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you end up feeling like there's not enough time when you have a day off or a weekend? Or do you struggle to decide what to do to fill your free time? Do you come out of the weekend feeling like, didn't really get what I could out of it? Or do you feel great at the end of the weekend? You've done the stuff that you wanted to do, the important stuff, the fun stuff, whatever. Tell us how you do it. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up a conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Right now, we continue our conversation with Laura Vanderkam. She's the author of several books about time management. Her latest is called Off the Clock, Feel Less Busy While Getting More Done. We're talking about how to make your days off of work meaningful, satisfying, maybe fun, productive, whatever you want to do, and whether that includes relaxation or getting lots of stuff off of your to-do list. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. What is your idea of a great weekend? And do you manage to make that happen? Do you get up early, have a good breakfast, take care of the things you've been putting off? Do you feel like you have too much to do on the weekend, or do you feel like you fritter away the time? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. Jeff joins us now in Superior. Jeff, hi.
Hey, good afternoon and Happy New Year.
So, hey, to you too, Jeff.
Yeah, sounds good. You know, I have an excellent mattress. I love my mattress. So I know that whatever happens on any day, have a bad day, a great day, whatever, I still have my private time on my mattress because I love to sleep. I enjoy sleeping. So I set all the world aside and I just sleep. So I know I'm going to have a good day because I know I'm going to have a good sleep. From there, I do my chores like I'll multitask. So if I have to go to the laundromat, I'll put the clothes in the wash. Then I'll run an errand and I'll come back, throw them in the dryer, and I'll run another errand and come back to pick up the clothes. So I try to multitask and have a number of things going on at once.
Jeff, thanks a lot for calling in. And Laura, I think you've talked about that idea of multitasking. If you are, you know, if you're a parent and you're taxiing kids around and then waiting for things to happen, making some good use of that time.
Oh, definitely. Time in the car, I mean, can be spent listening to wonderful programs like this or podcasts or audiobooks or things like that. Certainly, if you wind up going to a lot of kids' sporting events, it really behooves you to think about, well, what could I do with this time? Because often what I see at sidelines is people just sort of thumbing around on their phones, and it's not anything they really care about. They're not really watching what's going on, but they're not doing anything else either. You know, even if you want to see your kids' time on the field or in the wrestling match or whatever it is, there's a lot of downtime too. So think about what you could do. Maybe it's read a good book. A lot of us feel like we don't have enough time to read, but that could be time that if you have an ebook with you, you've always got your phone, so pull it out and make some progress on, I don't know, reading War and Peace in the middle of that swim meet.
Jeff, thanks a lot for the call at 800-642-1234. We heard from Nancy in Sun Prairie. Nancy says she works a side job on weekends in addition to her 9-to-5. So planning is essential so she can relax on Sundays before she works at 4 p.m. She tries to do all of her chores in the days leading up to the weekend. So Sundays are for being at home and doing whatever she needs or wants. So that's that kind of intentional planning you were talking about earlier, Laura.
Yeah, I think that's really a great idea. I mean, she recognizes that she is working on weekends, obviously, with a side job. That's probably going to happen. But rather than spending all Saturday sort of or Sunday getting everything done and then feeling exhausted and then going to work and doing her paid job as well, she has consciously carved out that time for relaxing and figured out a way to make her chores happen during the week. And I actually think a lot of us could get more of our chores sort of done during the week or maybe lower our standards to the point where they don't really need to be done on the weekends and could carve ourselves back some open time.
Now, speaking of Sundays, let's talk about Sunday night or whatever the last day off is before we go back to work. And people might feel a little bummed out. Oh, weekend's over. I have to go back. If my boss is listening, that's not me. I love coming back to work. But not everybody does. How can we make sure that we don't have that kind of pre-work, end-of-weekend blahs on Sunday night?
Well, I think one of the best things you can do is plan something fun on Sunday night. So, you know, probably something low-key because it is a school and work night, but maybe it's a standing, you know, get-together with friends. You all have a potluck at somebody's house on Sunday evening and rotating houses, but, you know, then you've got something fun you're looking forward to all Sunday afternoon instead of already having yourself in Monday morning mindset by, you know, Sunday at 2 p.m. So I think that's a really good thing to do. But there's one other thing I would suggest doing, which is that you actually think about what you're going to do at work on Monday before you leave work on Friday. So take a little bit of time on Friday afternoon to plan your upcoming week, and particularly plan your Monday. Because often a lot of that sort of angst we're feeling on Sunday is that you know all this work is waiting for you, and you know stuff's coming up, but you don't know exactly what, and you don't know exactly how you're going to tackle it and what you're going to need to do on Monday. But if you make a plan on Friday, then you know, and then you don't have to spend your whole weekend thinking about it.
We're talking to Laura Vanderkam, time management expert and author, looking at making the most of our days off, our weekends, or whichever days you happen to have off. You can join in with your questions or your solutions at 800-642-1234. Back to our callers now. James is with us in Stevens Point. James, hi.
Hi, how are you today?
Good. What do you do to plan your days off?
Well, two of the things. One, I'd like to comment on what you said about the timetable. And you know, if you're going to start a project or you have something to do, and we're going to set a time that I'm going to start that, I'd say at like 10 o'clock. That works out well for me. That way I don't feel guilty all morning because I didn't start this project yet or whatever I'm going to do. So that helps with the mindset. And the other thing is whatever project that I may be planning, and I love that Wednesday thought that you had, I'll pick up materials for those prior to the weekend, so I'm not going into Saturday morning and I have to run to Lowe's or Ace Hardware or getting all my materials ready to go. I have everything on hand.
I love that way of thinking, James and Laura. You know, whether you're thinking about the fancy meal you're going to cook, the home renovation project you're going to do, having the ingredients in place, whether that's food or, you know, the right size bolts, whatever it might be, having things ready to rock so you don't have to take an extra half hour getting those materials when you were planning to be doing the thing.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's nothing worse than being like, okay, I'm ready to go. I finally have the energy to do this house project that I've been putting off for 3 months. And then you're like, and I don't have the right materials. So I guess I'll be putting it off more while I run to the hardware store and then get sidetracked with something over there. So, yeah, I think that's a great suggestion. Think about the project you plan to do. Make sure you have what you need.
James, thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. In one of your previous books, Laura, you talked about what successful people do on the weekends. Are there examples of people or practices that you found particularly inspiring?
Yeah, it's been a couple of years since I wrote that book. I'm trying to remember now exactly what I did. You know, one of the people I interviewed for it, of all people, is Mike Huckabee, you know, the news commentator and former governor. But he, because he was working in television, I think, at the time and had to do a weekend show, he is really focused on what he was doing on his one day off per week. And he was very focused on also making sure that he did something that was social, something that was sort of exercise-related, and something spiritual. And I think that those are great three categories for anyone thinking about the weekend. You know, am I doing something that is physical, so getting exercise or at least some sort of physical activity, you know, that would be energizing for you? Socializing tends to be energizing for people as well, so getting together with friends and family. And spiritual as well. That can be a great component of a weekend. Maybe it's going to worship services somewhere, but it could be something else, too, that you find meaningful, like volunteering. But if you put a check mark in those three categories, it would be pretty hard to say that you did not have a good weekend.
Now, how do we make sure we hold ourselves to account? We make this plan. This is a common introvert dilemma, I think. We plan to do something, maybe that social thing you mentioned. When the time comes, we think, oh, I'd rather just hang out here. But you know that if you went out and did the thing, in hindsight, you really would enjoy it. How do we make sure we stick to that plan?
Yeah, I mean, there's a difference between scheduling stuff in that you actually don't really want to do, but you're kind of hoping that you'll have a different personality by the weekend. I mean, that's just not going to happen. You are who you are. And so, you know, particularly if you're planning stuff far in the future, it always helps to ask yourself if you would do the thing tomorrow. Because if you wouldn't do it tomorrow, like, then you probably aren't going to want to do it in 2 months either. So don't put it on your schedule for the weekend in the future either. But if it's something you know you will like you've liked it in the past, and you know, it's just getting over that initial hurdle. I think I like to repeat this mantra to myself, which is plan it in, do it anyway. Because if we're looking for a perfect time where we're never going to be tired or never going to have something else that we have to do, right, that time does not exist. we'll always be tired. Like, we'll always, you know, find it difficult to, like, get up and get our shoes on and get in the car and go somewhere. You know, it's always easier to stay put. But if you just stay put watching TV, like, you know, life becomes this sort of unmemorable, undistinguishable mass of time. And, you know, when we have no memories, we feel like time is just passing us by. So, you know, if you've planned something in and you know you will be happy about it afterwards, just tell yourself, do it anyway, because I promise you that once you get going, you'll find it very energizing. We draw energy from meaningful things.
That reminds me, there's one thing you wrote about that I wanted to get into before we run out of time. You've suggested we create a bucket list for our weekends, maybe including things like, you know, in that 1 or 2 hour radius from where we live that we can plan to do, or when we've got time, we can spontaneously do. What kind of things are on your list right now?
Well, I have 4 small children, and it is January when we were talking. So, you know, there's a lot of indoor stuff. And I don't know if I would refer to it, what I've made, as so much as a bucket list, as like a survival list, things that I could do with my 4 small children to keep us all from going crazy in the house. So, you know, a lot of like indoor museums or play places or, you know, tolerable outdoor activities that you could do in winter. But, you know, this is a good list for people to make in general because, you know, we often tell ourselves we have no time. And then when time appears, we don't know what we want to do with it. And so we spend it in the sort of lowest transaction cost possible, which is surfing the web, watching TV, puttering around the house. And again, those things aren't very memorable. So, you know, if you've got a few minutes now or maybe tonight or sometime tomorrow, sit down and make a list of anything that might be fun, meaningful for some combination of family members that's within an hour or two of your house. So maybe it's that state park you keep saying you want to visit, or the lake you want to go to, or an ice skating rink that's in town, or, you know, a basketball game, or just anything you might want to do. And that way, when you're thinking about your weekend, you say, oh, what should we do this weekend? Well, you've got a list. And you can pull something from that list and see what other people want to do from that list. And it helps just, you know, have some ideas so you don't have to spend all that time and energy thinking about it in the moment.
Laura, thanks a lot for joining us and sharing this great advice.
Thank you so much for having me.
Laura Vanderkam is the author of several time management and productivity books, including What the Most Successful People Do on the Weekends and Off the Clock, Feel Less Busy While Getting More Done. She joins today to talk about how to make the most of your weekend. Hey, do you have something like that on your list, those things you want to do in your part of the state and are just waiting for that opportunity on a weekend to do them? Send us your list or your ideas. Email ideas@WPR.org, and I'll steal them from you.